go to Galatians chapter 5. And it is wonderful to be forever reconciled unto the Lord. To have a home in heaven, a relationship with the Creator of the universe, who knows us by name, knows our every thought, our every intent, knows more about us than we even know of our own selves, and He still wants to be our friend. What an amazing God that we have. Tonight I want to talk to us about finding freedom. Finding freedom through the Spirit of God in Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. So Galatians chapter 5, reading verses 16 through 26. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Father, we do thank you again for this evening. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, Father, for just the songs that we can sing today and even tonight. Father, I ask that you would guide us according to your will tonight. I pray our thoughts would be established. Lord, I ask that you rebuke the devil on our behalf, rebuke all distractions. Even our own thoughts sometimes can be a distraction to ourselves, and the fans blowing and all kinds of things. But Lord, I ask that you'd have help us, Lord, to fully, intently look to you this evening. Lord, wanting to hear from heaven. Teach us what we need to learn. Remind us of what we need to remember. And through it all, Lord, help us to draw nigh unto thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, tonight, talk to us about finding freedom through the Spirit of God in our life. And in our verse tonight in Galatians 5:16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. You know, we kind of touched on it this morning, but even as this verse talks about, there's just a battle that we face every day, the battle to do right. Some of us face the battle in the mornings to get out of bed when we really don't want to go to work when we really don't want to. I went camping just recently, and it was a battle for me to even get up off the ground. More so since my accident, because just my back, after laying on my back all night, because I'm not one to toss and turn. When I lay down, I'm right there, and I just go to sleep, and I wake up. And it was a battle to get up. And but just there's things that we face each day that we'd rather not face, all right? There's things in our own life that we know is a struggle for us. You know, for some, it's a temper, it's anger, it's sometimes it's laziness. There's things in your life that you know is a struggle that you need the Lord to help you overcome. And that is what we're going to talk about tonight, is finding that freedom in Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. I mean, very simply, it says walk in the Spirit. That's what God tells us to do, walk in the Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we, as God's people, walk in the Spirit so that we get victory over our own flesh? Well, we're going to see that tonight. And as we look at finding freedom, the first thing, again, that we're told is to walk in the Spirit. So what is the Spirit? Look at Romans chapter 8. Keep a finger in Galatians, but look at Romans chapter 8 as we're going to look at what is the Spirit, what is the flesh, what is the fruit of the Spirit. And these are things that we already know, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves, as Paul even said, that there was no good thing in his flesh. No good thing dwelleth in his flesh. Now, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, and that's a good thing. Again, our flesh did not get saved. Our spirit got saved, and we still have the nasty old flesh that we have to contend with every day. Again, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but we have the victory through Jesus Christ. But finding that freedom, how do we get victory over ourselves and over even what we may call a bad habit? Again, when I was young, I had a very bad habit of cursing, but I was very good at hiding it from my parents and acting like a good little boy. Until one day, playing a game with one of my friends where you would throw the tennis ball up against the wall. You know, we had a brick house, so in the backyard, throwing the tennis ball up against the wall, and it bounces back, and you have to catch it. If you touch it and you miss it, and the other person gets it, you better run and touch that wall before they peg you in the back with that tennis ball. I loved playing that game, unless I was the one getting pegged in the back. And on this particular day, my dad was in the backyard. He was doing some yard work, and my friend and I were playing. So I was good at keeping my tongue from saying things around my parents until that ball hit me in the back, and it stung. And I just remember saying a curse word because I fell to the ground because it hurt. And when I looked up, my dad had come around the corner, had those sunglasses down, looking at me like this. I mean, if looks could have killed, I would have been dead. He didn't have to say a word. I knew what the look meant. Now, we're good at hiding things, but eventually it comes out. And it will come out at the time we don't want it to come out. And it's best to deal with the things we struggle with between us and God before it comes out and maybe defiles another person and causes more problems in our life. So to walk in the Spirit, and here's the Spirit. This is something to remind us, because sometimes we think God isn't always there with us. Now we know He is, but our actions say otherwise. Sometimes our actions, we think God isn't looking, God's not listening, God doesn't care. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be it the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you, well, you're in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. All right? So very simple. You're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know the moment that you ask Christ to come in your life, the Holy Spirit came into your life, sealed you. Until the day of redemption, the Holy Spirit is there as your guide, your teacher, your comforter. So we know who the Spirit is. The Spirit is God, God dwelling in us. Now, think about this. Back in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, why did Paul use the term walk? Walk in the Spirit. Why would he use that term walk? Well, walking is intentional. You have to intentionally choose to walk with God daily. Now, we're good at getting close to people or not getting close to people. We tend to keep people at a certain distance so they don't get to know us too well. Unless, obviously, you're married to your sweetheart and you don't mind them knowing every detail about you. But most people, even with friends, we kind of keep them at a distance. But to intentionally walk with God is to choose to do it daily, knowing that, you know what? God may ask you some questions. What's that in your life? Why are you doing that? Why are you watching that? Why are you listening to that? Why are you allowing yourself to be vexed by those things? Remember, the righteous spirit of Where's my wife? She's not in here. She's my better half. Was it, Chris? Say it again. Lot. It says of Lot that his righteous soul was vexed. Vexed because he allowed himself to move into that city of wickedness. My wife just texted me and said, Lot. Hey, she's not in here, but at least I know she's watching. She's watching live stream. She keeps me in check. Anyway, intentionally choosing to walk with God, not allowing ourselves to be influenced by this world, knowing that, you know what? God knows even what I don't know about myself. And if God knows everything about me and still wants to walk with me and help me, then I want to intentionally choose to walk with him daily. But walking, it's intentional. You choose it. It's continual. You'll never get to a place with God when you're walking with him that you don't need to continue walking with him. You think about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God every day. And then there was a day where God just took him from this earth. Now, there's going to come that point when we get to that place, but walking with God is not like walking to the post office where, okay, once I get there, you know, that's it. No, we need to intentionally, continually walk with God daily, and it's a directional walk. Which way do we walk? Well, we went walking on our camping trip, and we walked intentionally in a direction that got us to the playground. Because they had a new playground around the campground, and we let the kids go there, and they played. And then we intentionally walked down to the boat launch. I mean, there were places that we went, and we went in the direction that would get us there. Again, we can't walk with God and be going in the wrong direction. God does not go in the direction we want to go. We have to go in the direction that God's going, and God's always going in the right direction. God will never join up with us if we're doing something that is contrary to his nature and contrary to his word that he has told us. But also, walking is relational. You're walking with someone. Sure, you can walk alone. And there are people that like taking walks by themselves, but I personally like walking with my wife. I miss it. Since we both had COVID, we have not been able to walk the distance that we used to walk. We used to go to Addison Oaks Parks all the time and walk the entire thing, just enjoying ourselves. And we just can't physically do that anymore. But we do, you know, have a little walk that we'll do every now and again, especially if we come here and we're walking to go check on the chickens or my garden. I mean, they're just spending time is what I'm saying. Choosing to intentionally spend the time with God because you enjoy the fellowship. You enjoy the time with the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. It is a strategy in order to find freedom, intentionally walking with God. And here's the key to it. We have to want it. We actually have to want the freedom from our struggles. And you and I know what our struggles is, what our struggles are, and we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Again, your struggle may be fear. It may just be laziness. It may be lying. It may be, you know what, I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. I mean, you know what it is. I mean, I could go on and on with the list, but you know what your struggle is. I know what mine is. And I even was talking to the Lord about it this morning and this afternoon. I get discouraged very easily. I get discouraged and upset very easily. And I always ask the Lord, why? Why this? Why that? I mean, we know what our struggles are, and we have to be real with God so that we can get victory over it. Finding freedom, not letting the flesh control us. Look at verse 17. Because we know the strategy to find freedom is to walk in the Spirit, but there's that struggle. In verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Our flesh opposes the things of God. Now, it's not to be used as an excuse. One of the excuses that my family, one side of my family, would always use about their anger was, well, you know, we're Irish. There's Irish in the family, so, you know, we have tempers and stuff, and it's okay. No, honestly, there's no excuse for our sin. There's no excuse for anger, for temper. There's no excuse for a Christian to be lying. There's no excuse for any sin that we willfully choose to commit. The flesh opposes the Spirit, but you and I have to submit to the Spirit of God. And if we truly want to have the joy, the peace of God in our life, we have to choose to walk with Him, walk in His ways, and enjoy His company as He points out things that we need to get rid of in our life. But what is the flesh? The flesh is not the skin that you can look at. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at Romans 7, but Romans chapter 8. And I know you know these things, but just to get our minds on the right track this evening, and we all have something we need to find freedom from, that we need help with. Now, we can learn to live with it, but why learn to live with it when we can have victory over it? Don't just learn to live with a condition that God can give us victory over. Let's let the Lord give us the victory through Christ that He already says that we have. I mean, you know, there's probably things that you have in your life you've learned to just live with. You tried to resist it, you tried to fight it, and you just, okay, it's just to no avail, so I'll just learn to live with it by ignoring it. That's not getting victory. Victory is found in walking with God, submitting to the ways of God. Don't buy into the lie, well, this is just who I am, I've always been this way. Remember, we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ over our sinful flesh. There in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're living in the flesh, we can't please God as His people. What does it mean to live in the flesh? We give more place to what we want than what God wants. We give more place to what makes us feel good instead of what glorifies God. Look, if you would, probably a page back, Romans 7, verse 18 through 24. In verses 18 through 24 of chapter 7, for I know that in me, Paul says, as in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says the will is present. He has the will, has the desire to live for the Lord. But Paul talks about his own struggles. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, Paul admits it's sin. He's not giving an excuse. You read on. He's not saying, well, you know, that's just who I am. I've always lied, so I'm just a liar. Or, you know, I've always gotten mad at things, and, you know, I've always had an anger problem. No, he's saying, listen, there is this struggle. Okay, let's face it. We all get upset at times. We always get mad. We get mad at something. But how we handle it, How do we handle that moment? Look, there are too many sins in this world to name every single one of them in just a few moments. But when you get down and Paul lists these sins of the flesh, he lists the works of the flesh, the two first ones he mentions are sexual sins. And we live in a world right now that is driven by that. So much so it's disgusting. And the world has normalized it. And we tend to think about, okay, when we think about sin, we think about the things that we're not doing. We think about, you know, the heinous things that people do. And well, at least I don't do that. But when we read the list in a few moments, we'll see even hatred, envy. We'll see the things that really God nails it on the head with every sin that we're tempted with or struggle with. And what I want us to understand tonight is there is this opposition between the Spirit wanting to help us to do what's right and our flesh wanting to be gratified like it always has been gratified. And we have to choose to give in to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God so that we will find the freedom, because walking in sin, there's no comfort. There's no rest. There's no joy. There's no peace. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. And just because maybe we've always been a certain way or acted a certain way doesn't mean it is okay. And we have to come to the realization that to walk with God, we cannot have a carnal mindset. The carnal mind is enmity. It's against God. And what is the carnal mind? The carnal mind says, my way is okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. When you go back and you look at verse 19 through 21 of Galatians 5, in verses 19 through 23, he gives the two comparisons between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 19 through 21, he says, He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Okay, well, I'm not doing those. I mean, as we go through the list, in our minds, we're checking off, you know, what we don't do. I mean, that's just human nature. Because you ask somebody, you know, you're going to heaven. Oh, yeah, because, you know, I haven't committed murder. I mean, they'll name things that they haven't done. Anyway, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Well, I haven't killed anybody. No, remember Jesus said that if we hate our brother, if we hate someone, we've committed murder. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Again, he names the works of the flesh, and then he goes on in verse 22 and 23 to name the fruit of the Spirit to show that, you know what, we're not to be walking in the flesh anymore, we're to be walking in the Spirit. Now, we still have flesh, all right? We still have this sinful nature, but our sins should not control our life anymore. Again, we should not be controlled by our emotions. We should not give place to the devil in our life, because Jesus Christ has given us the freedom. He has redeemed us. He's broken the chains of sin in our life, and we should no longer serve sin. We should be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He gives these two comparisons as he talks to the believers at Galatia, reminding them, hey, your life should not bear out the works of the flesh anymore, But our life should be bearing out the fruit of the Spirit that, you know what, we are growing in Christ. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate His fruit in our heart so it bears out in our life. So we are conformed more into the image of Christ so that the Holy Spirit has more, I'll say more power in our life than less. Because the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. We're not to grieve the Spirit, and we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit in our life when we walk in the flesh, when we allow the works of the flesh to rule in our life. But just like I asked earlier about why he would use the term or the word walk in the Spirit, why would he use the word fruit of the Spirit? What's the purpose of that word? Well, when you think about fruit, you think about the fact that when something is growing, the fruit is first internal. It's being developed on the inside. I've loved going to my garden and watching these vegetables just grow and come up. I mean, things are, you know what, my corn is knee high. You know that saying, you knee high by the 4th of July. In fact, I think it's above your knee, depending on how tall you are. But it's pretty good, and I've already enjoyed some salad from my garden. I've already enjoyed some banana peppers and green peppers, and there's other things I'm looking forward to. But you know, before it comes out, before you see that fruit hanging on that vine or on that stem, it's on the inside. It's coming out. Remember Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on the inside will come out. And when there is the fruit of the Spirit's love on the inside, helping us to be able to love others, helping us to love even the unlovable, helping us to love those that may not necessarily love us back, loving them with a Christ-like love, or having the joy and the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ, the peace that passeth all understanding. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 13, in regards to the fact the fruit is first internal before it's seen, before you see it on the outside. You understand, people can pretend to love others. People can pretend to have joy when truly on the inside they have sorrow because they don't want anyone to know. But when you have that true joy on the inside and that true peace, it comes out in your life at the time that's needed, that helps us go through trials and difficulties in life, and even just to even be a testimony to somebody else. Think about Paul. When I think about having a peace that passes all understanding, you can't buy it, you can't fabricate it. Paul on the Mediterranean Sea as a prisoner headed to Rome, and they're in that storm. And the Bible records that all the men lost hope. They just, you know what, we're going to die. They lost hope that they would be saved, that they would live, but not Paul. Because Paul was spending time walking in the Spirit. But of course, he was spending time with God, and God spoke to Paul and told him, you're not going to die and no one else is going to die, but you have to go to a certain island. And Paul was able to come back up to where all the other prisoners and the Roman guards, the centurion, the shipmaster sailors were, and encourage them to be of good cheer. Now, unless we have that peace that passes all understanding ruling in our hearts, we can't be effective in someone else's life in encouraging them. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we truly can, but it first starts on the inside, and then it's shown on the outside. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working on the inside of us, changing the inside. Somebody can dress up the outside and the inside not be changed. I've seen that too many times where people are just trying on God, trying on Christianity to see if it'll help, not allowing their hearts to be changed. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. The second thing about fruit is not only is it first internal, but it's gradual. The fruit grows gradual. Again, I would love for some of my vegetables out there to be, you know, ready the day after I plant them. And I'm having to patiently wait to taste the fruit of the things in my garden. Again, I've already been able to have kale and spinach. And today I was able to have some salad blend that I'm growing out there. And there's some crispy mint lettuce out there. It's just different things I just cannot wait to try. But I have to wait because the fruit grows gradual. It doesn't just grow overnight to perfection. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It doesn't just happen overnight. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Grow in grace. We have to learn how to be gracious towards others. We have to learn what God loves and what God hates. We have to learn what God wants in our life. We have to allow the grace of God to grow in our life. But fruit is also inevitable. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 20. It's first internal. You don't see it. It's growing on the inside. It's a gradual growth. As long as that plant is healthy, as long as that person is spiritually healthy, allowing God to do His work on the inside. In Matthew chapter 7, and verse 20. Jesus says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now as the Lord talks about knowing the fruit of others, whether somebody else truly is saved or not, because He warns about wolves in sheep's clothing, those that seem to be of God, but truly are not, they're ravening wolves. You realize that we will know if the fruit of the Spirit is real in our own life. I can say tonight, I have peace. I won't be moved by anything. I know God is on my side. But you know what? The proof comes when we're faced with something that tests the peace of Christ in our heart. You know, I already given the illustration many times, but with our kids, my wife taught them Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Because they were afraid to go up the stairs to their bedroom. We lived in a house that was about 100 years old, and it just, you know, it had an eerie feeling to it. There were some things that had happened in that house. And yet the kids learned to trust in God. And eventually they stopped singing the song because they had the peace in their heart and they would just go up the stairs by themselves to bed. I'm saying, I can say I trust God. But the proof is when the test comes. And God will test the fruit. Because God wants to purge sin in our lives so that the fruit of the Spirit can bear out. So nothing is choking out the fruit of the Spirit. It is and will inevitably show in our life if we're walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is bearing out in our life. And sadly, others will recognize it too. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I say that because sometimes we do have the attitude, well, I don't care what anyone thinks. But we should, as God's people, because we have a testimony that should be shining brightly in this dark world. There should be a reason why people ask us of the hope that lies within us. We should have people asking us, why are you so calm? Why is it seems like nothing ever bothers you? Everybody else is upset. Why is it seems like you always have something positive to say, and then we're able to bear witness of the fact it's not us, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ in us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God truly wants us to abound in this life through the Spirit. And every good work, that's not just, you know, me doing a good deed, but it's doing the will of God, allowing God to work in my life, allowing God to even prune fruit, to prune, to purge sin, to do what's needed in my life so that I am conformed more into the image of Christ so that God is glorified. Now, I want you to go back and look at Galatians chapter 5. I mean, we already know. I mean, really, no one has to be told that there is a struggle within yourself, that our flesh opposes the things of God. No child has to be trained to pitch a fit, to scream when they want something. No one has to be taught how to lie, how to steal, how to cheat. No one has to be taught how to sin. It's their nature. They're born with it. But we do have to learn how to walk in the Spirit so we can overcome the flesh, so that we can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to have a more abundant life. Jesus said, "I came to give life and to give it more abundantly." Now, I love the fact that I have eternal life, and you probably love the fact you have eternal life, but there's so much more to our life than just having that free gift, and it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24 of Galatians 5. This is where we find freedom in Jesus Christ, and He truly is the answer for everything. In verse 24, it says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." He is the solution to the opposition we face within ourselves on a daily basis. He is the solution because in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, Paul said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." He's not saying I'm serving sin. He's saying, okay, through Jesus Christ, I have the victory. And through the mind, I'm going to have the mindset that I'm not under bondage. Sin does not have to reign in my life. I don't have to act a certain way, talk a certain way. I'm going to choose to walk in the Spirit of God who has redeemed me and set me free. Again, we enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. Now, to keep the freedoms in this country, we as Christians have to get out and vote. We have to do our part to ensure the freedoms that we can continue to enjoy in this country. But the freedom in Christ, it was already paid for. But we have to choose to walk with Him daily. We have to choose to say no to ourselves and yes to the Lord. How do we deal with sin in our life? And I want you to go to 1 John chapter 1. Before I answer the question, how should we deal with sin in our life? And sin is anything against God. I want you to look at verse number 8. Because again, sometimes we like to minimize what's wrong in our life. We like to compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, at least I'm not. But verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." God does not want us to be deceived. He does want us to find victory through Jesus Christ. And verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How should we deal with sin in our lives? You know the struggles that you have. I know the struggles that I have. And the first way to deal with sin in our life is to embrace our identity in Christ. To embrace our identity in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What was the law of sin and death? The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But yet you and I have received that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. I don't have to give in to sin. I don't have to do what my flesh wants to do. I don't have to get mad at something or somebody. I don't have to say everything that comes to my mind. A fool uttereth all his mind. Sometimes, you know, we just want to give someone a piece of our mind. Don't do that, because you really need to keep that piece of your mind. And I need to keep that piece of my mind. But we need to embrace the fact, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador for Christ. What I do or say can either ruin my testimony as a child of God, or it can make my testimony shine for Christ. Nobody cares about what we say. They care more about what we do. They watch what we do. And sometimes as parents, without really saying it, we tell our kids, you know, don't do what I do, just do what I say. But what do kids do? They mimic their parents. My kids would always mimic their pastor. Not me, although in some ways they have, but I mean, our pastor, church that we attended for 13 years, they watched him like a hawk. The way he preached, the way he stood, the way he adjusted the lapel mic, everything. So when they were playing preacher at the house, turning the laundry basket upside down, using it for their pulpit, putting their Bible, making their little lapel mics out of cardboard and string and a paper clip, we would watch, because they would call mom and dad to their service, and they would have their glass of water, and we would watch them. My wife and I would just laugh, because everything he did. I mean, they would clear their throat like their pastor did. They would straighten their jacket. Just everything. It was so funny. They were mimicking what they saw. We really want people to see Christ in us. We really want others to see Christ. That's who we want to mimic. That's who we want to be like. We want others to see Christ in us. And again, sometimes we keep people at bay because, you know, we don't want people to get to know us too much or too well, because then they won't like us. You know what? If it's Christ in us, if we're allowing Christ to bear out in our life through the fruit of the Spirit, and we're allowing God to conform us more to the image of Christ, we won't have to worry about what people think, because they'll see Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember, we have victory through Jesus Christ. We're not in bondage to sin. The devil does not have any more chains in our life. He's not in control of our life. The only thing the devil can do is what we allow him to do in our life. And we need to not only embrace our identity in Christ, that we are the children of God, we are born again believers, we are the disciples of Christ, but we need to expose the sin. Expose it. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say, well, it's not a big deal. Don't say, well, at least I'm not as bad as somebody else. You know what the struggle is, so let's admit it to God so that we have that freedom. I just remember many times where I have had just the weight this weight upon me. Again, I already told you earlier, I kind of struggle with, you know, worrying about things, worrying about the church, worrying about people's attendance, worrying about people's spiritual state and the things of the ministry that I cannot control. But it still, it weighs heavy on me because, you know, as a pastor, you want God's people to flourish, to grow in their relationship. And when you see people floundering, when you see people not coming anymore, and you see people turning to the ways of the world and turning to people because they want to be loved, and they think the way some man is loving them is what they need, and no, it's not love, what they're doing, it grieves you. And I can't go into detail on some things, but just the things that weigh heavy upon me, I have to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, if I continue in this way, being weighed down and heavy like this, I'm not going to make it. So I have to lift it up to the Lord in prayer and trust that God will move in their heart. God will move in the life of people that I pray for. Again, there's just different things. And because again, it's I don't need to be weighted down. I'm to pray about it and pray for people. But we need to expose the sin in our life. Remember, the Bible even says it this way, that we are to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Again, we can't walk effectively in the Spirit and walk with God if we're weighted down with sin and we're weighted down with weights. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 23, the psalmist said this, and this is how we expose sin in our lives. Sometimes we know what it is. We know what we struggle with. We know what we battle with. But then there's sometimes where, you know what, Lord, we've confessed everything we know. And then we say, as the psalmist in 139, verse 23, search me, O God. Let's not tell God, search me, if we already know what it is. But if we truly don't know what it is, and we know, I know I'm not perfect, I know I'm not sinless, Lord, search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's times where we don't know maybe what the sin is. And we say, Lord, search me, because I don't want anything between me and you. I don't want anything to interrupt my relationship with you. I don't want to regard iniquity in my heart that you don't hear my prayers, that my relationship with you is not right. Again, let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not excuse it away. But there's times where we do know what it is. We do know what we do that is not right. And in Psalm 32 and verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Because we can't hide it from God. He already knows what it is. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Why is it sometimes a child will not be forthcoming when they do something wrong, when something gets broken? I've had so many things broken by my children over 27 years. And many times they did not come running to me or their mother saying, I did this, I'm sorry. No, we'd usually find it in the trash, or we never found it. I don't know if anyone ever confessed to this. But in our bathroom in Madison, Wisconsin, we had the letter M for Middleton, hanging on the wall. It disappeared. Somebody broke it. That's why it disappeared. And usually when you ask the kids, and when you have as many kids as I do, and you go down the line, it's amazing how every one of them said, it wasn't me. Because no one ever wants to fess up to it, because in their mind they think, well, if I fess up to it, I'm going to be in trouble. Usually, parents, when you have a child that comes to you and says, I did this, I didn't mean to, but I did. Usually you show them some grace. You're like, thank you for telling me. And I've had the wonderful privilege of having kids do that. And it's always, they're getting it. Until the next time where I didn't do it. But anyway, what I'm saying is, God already knows, so let's just be honest with him. Let's acknowledge what it is that God even shows us that's hindering our walk with him. And let's execute it. Let's kill it. Let's get rid of it. Let's mortify it, as the Bible says. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Once we expose it, let's get rid of it. Let's starve the flesh of what it desires. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It says, mortify, execute it, kill it, get rid of it, starve it. For us, starve it. Again, I mean, so many examples, but I mean, there's just a certain type of music I used to listen to. And when I finally got my life right with God, it was one of the first things to go, was the music. Because you know what? Music controls. Music controls. Music shapes the minds of people. That's why, you know, for God's people, we should be listening to God-honoring music that glorifies him and lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, because it helps our hearts and minds to be focused on the Lord. So things that are in our life that may be contributing to that sin or to that weight, we need to get rid of it. Don't allow it in our life. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's why I can't say, well, you know, there's Irish in the family, so, you know, that's why I have a temper and it's okay. God made me this way. God knew there's Irish in the family. Again, that's just the excuse I heard over the years as a kid. No, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And again, that reminds me of the Lord when he said that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Yes, you and I may have the gift of eternal life, but there's so much more in this life. There's so much more joy and peace that we could be experiencing. There's so much more of our relationship with God that we could be enjoying. But you and I have to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? This isn't right. That's not right. I need to stop that. Lord, if there's something that I'm not aware of, that maybe I have even said, well, that's not a big deal, Lord, would you show it? Because I don't want anything to hinder my relationship with you. Let's not be comfortable where we're at in our relationship with God. Again, when we get familiar with things, we get comfortable with it. Okay, not a big deal. I can live with it. But God doesn't want us to live with it. God wants us to have the victory over it. Because God wants to walk with us and even take us further into a relationship with him than where we're at. There's blessings to be had by you and me through the Lord Jesus Christ.